Father, once again, we come as your family to celebrate again the life that we had through your son, Jesus, this newness of life that you are teaching us how to live, how to walk, how to receive, and how to renew our mind to it. What freedom, what joy, what confidence, what a place of safety and security that we have, Father, in this new, the newness of life, as you call it. And we want to thank you. So this morning, as we share and as you speak to us, we want to just receive today, Father, from your heart, the good news that you have for mankind. It is truly good news. And we want to thank you that your good news has an amazing power behind it that breaks away the voice of bad news, the voice of every other news. And so this morning, by your Holy Spirit, each and every one of us in our uniqueness, in our where we are in life, we just thank you as you just love us too much to leave us where we are at this moment. And you're going to share with us a way, share with us the abundant life way through your son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you for that, Lord. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Okay, guys. We're repeating a lot, okay. but it's important because we're at the place now where I don't know if you're experiencing it at the moment in your own lives, but there's like that, you know that you belong to the army of God. And you know that you're involved with something that is very powerful because it's releasing the life of God. You may be at the place here where you may be at the, where you know that God is saying to you to start to share the incredible good news in whatever capacity and way. And it's just that little step that you needing to take at this time. But there's this deep sense that we're no longer just living for ourselves. We actually belong. We're in the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're marching with him. We're walking with him. We're living with him and really involved with his kingdom and seeing his kingdom manifest here on the earth. And that's why this is such a big part that God is sharing with us to help us to be established in this. Because this is going to be so much, not only how you and I live, but it's the message that we are sharing with others and then how to disciple others to be able to live in the newness of life that we have through his son, Jesus Christ. And so it's a very, now word from our Heavenly Father helping us to be established in a truth. But I know that it's a very strong sense of belonging that's coming through right now. You belong to the army of the Lord. You belong to his family. You belong. That's your reason for existence. Your purpose right now is really knowing what it is to be a child of God, live as a child of God, involved, as a child of God in the family of God. And that's being established in our lives. And that, so we've been looking at, Romans chapter 6, we all just go back to Romans chapter 1 first of all, and then verse 1 and 2, where Paul speaks about the gospel of God, and that's the good news of God. So God's good news to mankind, that is what we're looking at. What is his good news? And he's opening it up because it's not just being born again. The good news is bigger than that. It's dealing with the whole fullness of what salvation is all about. And so bit by bit, the Holy Spirit is unlocking and revealing to us what the fullness of salvation is all about, so that we live in the fullness of the salvation that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember there in Luke 2 and verse 10, where the angel appears before the shepherds. And what did the angel say? Remember, the angel is messenger. So this was a messenger from God. The good news, good news of God. So the angel is proclaiming the good news from God to the shepherds and to all mankind. And this is what the angel says: I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, not just the Jews, but for all the people. Today in the town of David, a savior, you see, salvation, a savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. And so Christ Jesus, as we've been going back, we see Jesus is the good news. In the past, God spoke through the prophets in various ways, and we saw there that in the prophets in the Old Testament, everything there, the revelation of Christ is in there. And all the time the prophets were speaking, revealing, there was the hiddenness of Christ in the old covenant. And then the time came when Christ came, full of truth, full of grace. And we see there now in Hebrews that God speaks now. He has already spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. So that everything that our Heavenly Father does, it'll be always through his son, Jesus Christ. The good news is about his son, what his son has done for mankind, the deliverance, the salvation, the freedom, everything us into the newness of life. And we haven't yet, I think we're just starting to discover by the Holy Spirit the reality of this new life that you and I live in now that we have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so we've been looking at that. And then we went through to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to just quickly share that Romans chapter 5 because, let me go back to, to Romans chapter 1. Because remember in Romans chapter 1, Paul now is saying to, writing in, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So there was a boldness, there was a confidence. Paul had a revelation of this good news of God that he was so excited about. He was confident. He was bold about it because he understood and he experienced, and he has in his own personal life, but also in his ministry, he's seen how it is the power of God for salvation. But then he writes and he says over there, for in the gospel, in this good news of God, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And this is very important because here we see that through Jesus, through this incredible good news, there's a righteousness of God that's been revealed. And revealed, remember, it's been hidden, but now it's been made known. So in Christ, the revelation of righteousness has been made known to mankind. And that's important because when Jesus speaks in Matthew 6 verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What righteousness are we seeking? You see, God has spoken through his son. So this righteousness that he's speaking about is a righteousness that is revealed through his son Jesus in his son Jesus. And that, so we've got to understand, that's why this is so important, this gift of righteousness, and the reality of that. And so when we're dealing with this righteousness that we've been looking at over there, remember righteousness basically is, God's approval. It is God, it's that which is right in the eyes of God. So God looks at something over there. He then declares it. He then in his own heart, in his own mind, everything about God, he says, that is right. That's the right standing. And so here we see there that for instance, the first part of this works out is in our relationship with God. When we receive that gift of righteousness, we are placed in a right standing with God. We have the divine approval. So when Abraham simply believed God, when God had spoken to Abraham and Abraham just simply believed, that now had God's approval. And that's why he was now imputed, he was declared, he was credited to be righteous because he had this faith, he just believed God. And that's why faith, that we received this righteousness by faith. All the time, faith is a big reality for you and for myself. And so we've been looking at this, and it's important to particularly that verse when we saw there in Matthew 6 verse 33, because it's a very well known portion of scripture that we quote all the time. But as we've been seeing, when you and I receive the gift of righteousness, remember, grace reigns through righteousness, as we saw there last week in Romans chapter 5. And so this is a breakthrough that I'm sharing right now. And you'll see as you apply this into your life, it is a key. It is such an incredible breakthrough to live in the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And so we've been looking at the role of Adam. And then also we looking at in the parallel consequences of the reality of Christ Jesus. So what Adam did was credited to us. So Adam's disobedience now belongs to you and I, to all mankind. And so we've been looking at that then. We see that because of Adam's sin, all people, all humanity have sinned, because they weren't the one that disobeyed God, but Adam did. But what Adam did has now belongs to all of humanity. And that the same with Christ, what Christ did for us who believe, as we hear the good news, as we hear by the Holy Spirit, God becomes real, Christ becomes real, and we simply believe that what Christ has done for mankind, that now belongs to you and I. And we now live in that reality of everything about Jesus belongs to you and I. By faith, we receive this. And that's that gift that we have received by God. And so we've been looking at that there. And then we got to the place last Sunday where we were looking there at verse 21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here we see how this incredible abundance of grace operates. How do you and I receive the grace upon grace? How do you and I receive the fullness of this grace? How do you and I step into living in the reality of this incredible grace that we have received by faith? And that's why in verse 1 in Romans 5, therefore, since that we have been justified through faith, and in other words, because we simply believed Jesus Christ and what he has done, we have God's divine approval. And because we have God's divine approval, we're in a right standing with him. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through this, through Christ Jesus, we have gained access by the simple faith that we have received by God into this grace in which we now stand. So that's our position. Every believer, your position, as you have simply believed the good news, this gospel of God, in a very limited understanding that you and I had when the gospel was shared, and that we simply believed, and straight away we entered in, we were declared not guilty, we were declared, we have God's divine approval. And so God's good enough is our good enough. Very, very important, because when we're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, many are still trying to live a life to be good enough in the sight of God. Okay? That is contradicting the fact that by faith, it's a gift, the righteousness. And you and I have a standing of being good enough because Christ is good enough. We are in Christ. We've received everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to you and I. That settles it. That's why we have peace with God. That's why our relationship with God is good enough because it's in Christ and what he has done. It's not about us. It's not about us trying to be good enough and that we're free of that. We have God's good enough. We've got God's approval. We've been declared not guilty. God's examined us through his son Jesus and he sees what his son Christ has done. He's imputed everything about what Christ did. He's imputed it to us. So it belongs to us. It's into our account. And so we live a lifestyle of being good enough now because of Jesus. That frees us from all the works of trying to be good enough. That frees us from all this other stuff that we add on to try and to get God's approval. In Christ, we have God's approval. That needs to be settled in us. Okay, because that brings us to the place of rest. That brings us to the place of this peace that we see here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and verse 2. And that's very powerful. So now we see now, because we have simply believed what God spoke to us. Remember, faith comes from hearing. There was a moment when God became real to us and we just simply, yes, we received that. We believed that straight away. God's good enough. God's approval was imputed upon into our lives. We now, it belongs to us. So we are in a good enough relationship standing with God. There's no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Okay. And so now, because of the gift, nothing about the works, because of the gift that we have received from Christ Jesus, now we now experience how this grace of God reigns. And so when we say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, now we begin to realize, but I've received his righteousness. And then we see all these things shall be added upon you. That's the grace reigning through the gift of righteousness now. That's the provision. That's everything else flowing. That's the grace upon grace. That you're receiving because you believe that you're good enough in Christ Jesus. You believe that in Christ Jesus, you now have a right standing. You've got God's divine approval. It's settled. I'm a child of God. He deals with me through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is settled. And that's why Paul carries on there in chapter 6 of Romans. And he starts to unlock it now. And then what he says in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And then he says, answering a question based on what he's just been sharing about Adam and about Christ. Because in Adam all died, now in Christ, because in Adam, remember, there's a power of sin now that is operating to all of humanity. The wages of sin is death. That's why even babies who have not yet committed any personal sin. Remember, we're dealing with original sin. We're not dealing with personal sin right now. So yeah, you have babies that have not committed any sin at all, yet they still die. Because even that baby, what Adam did belongs to that baby. It has not yet even done any sin in their life before. At all. Okay. But the wages of sin is death. So all die. That's a power. That's the consequences of Adam's disobedience and that. And so now Paul continues and he says, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning? He says, no. Remember, you now, that which was imputed upon you from Adam is no longer your reality, because now by faith you have received what Christ has done. That's your new reality. Something's changed. Before you had the power of sin operating, but now that power of sin is broken, because now you have the life of Christ. Christ is sinless. Christ never had the power of sin operating in him at all. He's sinless. And now we have that reality. So Christ's life, Christ, who he is and everything that he's done is imputed to you and I. So now we've got to renew our mind to this. We've got to start thinking differently. We've got to begin to, by faith, accept, okay, in you, Lord Jesus, this is my new standing. the power of sin is broken. And so Paul starts to carry on and he says, by no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And again, I like the original because it speaks about the newness of life that we now have in his son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul now begins to make a statement. And the first statement he begins to unlock in the understanding of this, and he says over there, by no means, we are those who have died to sin. That alone is such a powerful statement. When you and I, see, we're not dealing with personal sin right now. We're dealing with the power of sin. We're dealing with the old Adam that we used to be. When we were still had all that Adam did, the consequences of what Adam did, and we were still living in that law, in that power, where that sin ruled and reigned. Okay? Something took place in Christ. Christ broke that power. So now in Christ, that power of sin is broken. So we have died to sin. If you spend time to just think of what that actually means, to know now that your relationship with God is a relationship where the reality of it is that in Christ, you are actually dead to sin. Remember, sin was a separating reality. Sin was an issue in the relationship with God. Now the fact is that in Christ, you and I are dead to sin. That is why we have peace with God. That's why our relationship with God has been restored. That's why we're in a right relationship with God. So now, if we are living our life with this sin consciousness, that all the time we are thinking we're not good enough, we've sinned with this and all that kind of stuff, and looking at our past, et cetera, et cetera, we're again contradicting the truth that is in Christ Jesus. We have died to sin. Sin has no more power over us. The way God deals with us is this way. Sin is dead. Sin is dead. You are a new creation in my son Jesus. That's how our Father deals with you and I. See, that's why I seek first his righteousness. It's so free. It opens up the promise of God flooding into our lives. It opens up the provision of God. It opens up everything because now grace is reigning because you simply believed and received that in Christ Jesus, you are in a right standing. We've got his divine approval. He's declared us to be in a right standing with him. And we have his good enough, which belongs to you and I. And that imagine living just in the renewed mind that Christ's good enough belongs to us. That's our status. And that's where we live. We have died to sin. You see, and this affects the way we pray. This affects the way we live because all the time in our prayer life, oh, God may not be answering our prayer because I'm not good enough. God may not be blessing me because I'm not good enough. God may not be doing this because I'm not good enough. You see, that's why this is fundamental in beginning to live in the reality of what salvation is all about, in the reality of having this grace of God flowing freely into our lives because he has given us the righteousness. It's a gift from God, and his grace only flows through that gift of righteousness, which is his son, Jesus Christ, okay? And you and I begin to live in that grace upon grace on our daily life. And that is why we're starting to learn how to live in this grace. We're starting to learn, because what was salvation? Remember the definition that I shared a few weeks back. We're dealing with salvation is everything God, through his son Jesus Christ, is delivering us from the consequences of the fall and of sin. So everything that took place when Adam disobeyed God, and the reality of sin, the reality of what sin did to creation, the reality of what sin has done to mankind, to relationships, the reality of what sin has done in the area of every aspect of life, plus the reality now that it introduced the reign of Satan, because Satan controls the whole world. And so as we saw there, that before Adam sinned, and sin was already existing, and Satan introduced it into the world through Adam and Eve, or through Adam, not Eve, through Adam, because Adam was the head of the human race. And so we see that unfolding now. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. So in the life of Jesus, this life of Jesus, everything about our Lord Jesus Christ is to enable us to live in this newness of life. And as you and I begin by faith, receiving the fact, God, I have received now this incredible gift of righteousness that has come because of Jesus. I simply believe in Jesus, and you've now declared me good enough. You've declared me to be in a right standing, and you just live your day like that, day after day, week after week, in that simple truth. Grace reigns. Grace, remember, it's the works of God. It's everything about God. What God has done, everything about God, God himself is now being released into our lives through his son, Jesus Christ, because we simply believe, and we know it's not about our own human effort. It's not about our own good enough. It's not about our own failures. It's not about our own personal sins. Nothing like that. It's just the fact that through this gift that God has given to you and I, this gift of righteousness, that's where God's grace reigns through. Okay. And that brings us, as Paul writes, say, this eternal life. This is the newness of life. This is this incredible new life that you and I live in Christ Jesus. And so he carries on and he says, by no means we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In this area of death, one of the big emphasis of this area of this word we've died is that of separation. Because when you die, you're separated from your old life. It's totally gone. You're dead. And that, so it's emphasizing that, guys, you have died. Now that old way, that old humanity that you were in Adam, you separated from that. It doesn't belong to you anymore. And another way that Paul writes about this, he uses the word circumcision. And so let me just read there in Colossians chapter 2. He carries on there, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. That's God's good enough. In Christ, you have, not you're going to be, you have. That's our position. That's the reality of everything about Jesus now belongs to you and I. Okay. And so that is deep. He is the head over every power and authority, not only the demonic, but over the power of sin, over the authority of sin. Christ has destroyed that. Christ is the good news. And then he carries on, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. In Christ you've died to sin. And here Paul uses another word, circumcision. So here you can see it's been cut off, it's been separated. The old life, the old humanity that you and I used to be when we were still part of the Adamic family. We're no longer part of that Adamic family because we've been born again. We now belong to God's family in Christ Jesus. So we're belonging to the Christ family. And now everything is shifted because what Christ has done now belongs to you and I. That's our standing. That's why we've got to renew our mind to this, because that's how we begin to experience this more and more. And so we carry on. And Paul says over there, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ into this newness of life. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Okay, that's that whole original sin. It's been canceled. We've died to that. It doesn't belong to you and I. Get the mind fixed up in this area, because the mind still thinks it belongs to you and I. In Christ, it doesn't belong to you and I. It's been separated. We've died to it. It doesn't belong to you and I. That's why we have a new life. This is the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And guys, this is, I cannot express the importance of this, because to, as God is calling you and I, and there's an awakening taking place that we actually are in this army of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is reality, you and I have to know our right standing in him. We've got to know that we have God's divine approval because of Jesus, not what we have done. It's a gift from God. We've got to know, because this is the armor of God. This is the helmet of salvation. Everything we're talking about, we're clothed in Christ Jesus. And so now we've got to understand this truth, so that otherwise I know that I know. But when you're in ministry, when you're touching, when you're helping people, wherever they are there, your past, the enemy is going to remind you of your past. The enemy is going to remind you that you're not good enough. That's why you've got to take that captive. You've got the helmet of salvation, which is what Christ has done. Everything's about Jesus. You're clothed in his righteousness, everything. And now you stand firm. You stand firm in him, not in your own righteousness. You stand firm in him. And that's where you see grace upon grace flowing into your life, so that when the day of evil comes, you stand, you stand, you stand, and you continue to stand, because you're experiencing grace upon grace, grace reigning. Not because of your trying to stand, but because now you know your position in Christ Jesus. And now by that gift of righteousness, grace is reigning through your life, enabling you to have the victory. So in your weakness, in our weaknesses, as Paul says, God's grace is being made known. God's power is being made known. And that's our position. Guys, we'll deal with personal sin as we get on. We're dealing with that original sin right now. So here we have what Paul speaks about over here. When you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. That's you and I. That's you and I. You are alive with Christ. Renew your mind. Get it established in your mind. Get it established within you. Let that be your lifestyle. He forgave us all our sins. That's salvation. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, that's salvation, and stood against us and condemned us. In Christ is no more condemnation. That's salvation. He has taken it away. That's salvation. Nailing it to the cross, that's salvation. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's salvation. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's salvation. See, salvation is incredible, incredible fullness of life for you and I. And so here we have, so then back to Romans 6 quickly. And this, so then Paul says, well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ. Now, again, most folk refer this to as water baptism, but it goes deeper. Water baptism, yes, this is referring to water baptism, but this is, first of all, it's speaking about the reality of being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13 over there. We're speaking about the one body that by the Holy Spirit, you and I have this whole one body all over the world. We've been baptized into Christ by the one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And so For instance, the thief on the cross, he was never baptized in water, but he simply believed. And that faith, when he saw Christ on the cross and that he simply believed, you are the Son of God, what took place? That faith and what he knew about Jesus was credited to him as righteous. See, never got water baptized, but something took place over there. There was a union there in the reality of what Christ is doing on that cross. And so we see this there. And so every one of us, every single one of us that believe, we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. That's why for every believer, this is our reality. When Christ died, you and I died. When Christ died to the power of sin, when Christ died to all that came because of Adam's disobedience, that is our reality. That is why we have died to sin, because we identify to what Christ has done. We're in union with that. It's been imputed into our lives. We have received it. It's credited to our account. It belongs to you and I as believers. Now, water baptism is one of those incredible truths that our Lord has given to you and I, because in water baptism, it's an experience. We have gone into the water. We've been raised up there. And so what took place in the spiritual reality of this being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, raised with Christ because of our union in Christ Jesus, in water baptism, it is something that enables you and I to have a reference point. So years down the road, when you may be battling with a sin issue in your life, you've got a memory. You've got something that appropriated the faith, something that appropriated what took place in your own personal life. And so you've got this incredible memory. You can go back and you can really, Lord, when I was baptized, I was buried with you, Lord Jesus. And once again, you are reaffirming what took place when you got born again. And it's an amazing, it's an incredible, what will you call it there? The command that our Lord Jesus gave to us to get baptized, because he understood what we need to keep on reminding us of what took place over there. Many times in water baptism, when folk go through and they have an understanding of what this all about there. Many times what happened when they got born again, they experienced the freedom, but many times because now there's a better understanding in the water baptism, they now by faith appropriate the fullness of what took place when they died with Christ. They begin to have a tremendous breakthrough in their lives. And so it's an incredible, it's like the Lord's Supper all the time. It's something that you and I can continually use to be able to just get everything established, take time to renew our mind again to the fact of what Christ has already done for us. And so that is why it's so important. And that, but the main emphasis of, yes, not the water baptism, but it is a baptism. You and I got born again by the Holy Spirit. We were baptized into Christ Jesus. And that's what's really speaking about over here. And so, guys, and yeah, we see over there, we were buried with him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that is, I think I'm going to stop over there. And maybe next Sunday we'll start off with the newness of life aspect over there. But just to go over here in verse, let me just read this over here in verse 8. Or verse 6, speaking about the separation of the old. For we know that our old self was crucified. That old self is the humanity aspect. Okay? We're not dealing yet with the body of sin, with the personal sin issue. We're dealing with the old man that you and I were in Adam, because in Christ we are a new creation. Okay? So that old man that we were in Adam, that's been crucified with Christ Jesus, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. See, now we're starting to see this reality because our body, we still got the reality of sin, but now there's no power anymore. Because now when Christ died and you and I died with him, that power of sin was broken. So that's why sin does not rule any longer in our lives. So now we are able to deal with personal sin because that power is broken. And that's the reality of part of the salvation is dealing with the pollution of sin that we see now. This is going to start speaking about and that over there. But let me conclude, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And then in verse 11, if we're not taking verse 11, we battle to live in the reality of what Paul has been writing. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the faith truth over here. In the same way, that's when you and I now begin to accept the fact, God, just as Jesus died, in the same way, I now count myself dead. Sin does not have a power over my life anymore. I'm free from the power of sin. Sin is dead to me. That means my relationship with you, God, is in a realm where it's a sinless relationship because I've died to sin. So now, Father, you deal with me. Our relationship is this incredible, incredible relationship that you and I have. So just as the relationship that Jesus had on this earth with the Father, you and I have the exact same relationship right now. Exactly the same. Just as Christ was sinless, you and I are counted as sinless because sin is dead. Again, we're not dealing with personal sin right now. We're dealing with position. We're dealing with the gift that we have received from God the Father through Jesus. And that's how he deals with us. That's our relationship with God. That's why you and I have the stamp of good enough from God, because of the gift of Christ Jesus. What Christ has done, we receive that by faith. And so this is the renewal of the mind. And that's why that one scripture that is very real to me is that one in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, where John writes there, just as Christ is, so are we in this world. See, that's dealing with this fact that sin is dead in our lives. That's dealing with the fact as Jesus and the Father, that incredible oneness, you and I have that as well. Okay, now we've got to renew our mind. We've got to start thinking that way because when we think that way, what's happening? We're actually receiving it by faith. If we're not thinking that way, we're not yet receiving it. And so today is this day where we're starting to learn to receive our position in Christ Jesus, his divine approval through his son Jesus, and living the fact that now I am in a position where I have died to sin. Guys, we want to deal with, you know, often we're speaking about righteous leadership and everything over there. You can't deal with righteous leadership if this is not a reality. See, because it's the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. And this is the righteousness that we're first seeking. We're seeking this righteousness. How do we seek? Well, has been speaking and receive it. Seeking now, we continue to walk in this truth. We continue to renew our mind to this truth. We continue to, in the same way, count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. That's how we're seeking. That's how we're putting off the old, putting on the new. That's all the time the reality of what it is to walk in the reality of the armor of God. Simply received the reality of what Christ has done for you and I. And that is the power of God for salvation. That's why when God said the answer to our nation is the centrality of Christ Jesus, because it's in Christ that this nation can experience true salvation and get delivered from everything that sin brought into this world. And we need to be in that place now as those are in the army of God to know that God has given us message. It's all about his son. God bless as we just learn how to receive what he has done for you and I. Okay. So as we have the communion this morning, I'm going to just do a prayer over here, and then just in your own time there, please just receive. take the fact that we've died with him, and let us start thinking that way. But I think today, the fact that you and I have God's divine approval through his son Jesus, that is a breakthrough moment. The fact that you and I, we have received the gift of righteousness, and God's grace reigns through that gift, not through our righteousness, through that righteousness of Christ. And now you'll be able to just simply receive and thank God that his grace is reigning through your life to enable you to live in the newness of life. Just receive that today because of what Christ has done as we partake in the communion. So Father, thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that when you spoke for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We want to thank you that it's a gift. And you came through one day and you shared with us, Father, and you imparted grace and faith into our lives, and we just simply believed the incredible good news of your son, Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you that moment we were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ Jesus. And therefore we were baptized into his death, but also we've been raised in his resurrection. That belongs to us now. That's our standing, Father, and that's how you treat us. That's how you relate with us. And that's how we relate with you. We relate with you based on this truth that sin is dead. Sin is dead. You do not count our sin against us because sin is dead in your son Jesus. So we want to thank you that we are no longer living as the old Adam, but now we are living as the new creation in your son Jesus Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. So we want to thank you. So today we just renew our mind. We start to accept by faith these truths through your son Jesus. And so Lord Jesus, what you have done for us is beyond our words of thankfulness. It's beyond our worship. It's beyond our expressions of thanksgiving. It's just so big. The love that you had in laying down your life so that we can be delivered from the consequences of the fall and also of sin, and how we can live in the truth that is found in you right now. So as we have the communion, we break and eat the bread, your body, drink the wine, your blood, knowing that this was done so that we have God's divine approval, not guilty, no condemnation, free of guilt because of you. So thank you, Lord Jesus, as we now partake in the communion. Amen. Amen. Oh, and guys, if you want to just share, have your communion together.